Let's Talk. I'm Dick Griffith. We're on part four of a series on spiritual gifts. We're trying to understand those insights and motivations that God has given to each believer at the time of their salvation that helps you understand the world around you, helps you understand your role in it, and helps you serve Him and grow by faith doing what He has for you to do. The motivational spiritual gifts, that's what we're talking about, are our primary motivations the Holy Spirit uses. This is what drives you. It's what gives you joy or pleasure, the things that you do. You just naturally fall into trying to fulfill your spiritual gift. So ask yourself, how do you view the world and how do you interact with it? Your gift or our gift defines how we understand what God is doing and how we can best serve Him. So the gift this time is teaching. And so the teacher gift or the instruction gift is the ability to interpret, clarify, and explain God's truth and understandably apply it. Don't forget the last phrase there. The ability to interpret, clarify, and explain God's truth understandably in a way that people can incorporate it and then apply it. A teacher that just tends to talk about academics and the meaning of words and how many verses are here and how many chapters are there. It may be saying and teaching something that's important, but not unless it can be applied to the life of the person that's listening, because we're all here to help each other grow in our faith and to figure out, oh, that might be my gift. How can I use it? How can I apply it? How can I benefit the kingdom of God through it? Teachers must communicate in the words and to the maturity level of the audience. Here's a problem that teachers have. They like to show how smart they are. I know none of you out there are like this, but sometimes they like to show how smart they are, and they use the big words, and sometimes they use the church words that a visitor might not even understand. Let's talk about grace. Well, you and I, if we've been in the church for an extended period of time, have a concept of what grace is, but somebody else may not have that concept. So we need to be able to communicate concepts in words that are easy to understand to the community that's around us and the audience that comes, whether they're experienced as believers or somebody new that's a seeker coming in off the street. Pastors tend to have the gift of teaching. They also tend to have the gift of prophecy or proclamation, of speaking forth the truth. Those two together make for lots of pastors. However, we just got done last week talking about Timothy, whose gift was service and ministry. And he wasn't a prophet, at least as primarily, and he wasn't a teacher, at least primarily, but Paul used him to do all kinds of stuff, run errands for him all over the known world, and he ended up being the pastor of the church at Ephesus. The Word of God becomes applicable and practical through a teacher. Pastors must have this gift either primarily or secondarily. If you're a prophet or an exhorter, you can learn this as a skill. In seminaries, they call it homiletics, how to learn to put together a message or a sermon. Good teachers devote much time to their tasks. So if you're the kind of person that just loves to dig into the Scripture, spend hours researching it, looking at all the commentaries, tearing that down, making those outlines, coming to points of conclusion that you'd like to share, you may be the person that has the teacher gift. Now, these folks are not usually spontaneous speakers. It's not usually the person that gets up and says, okay, now I want you to hear this and I'm going to teach on this passage. They have to be thoroughly prepared first. A teacher digs and struggles to find the truth. They love to analyze the Scripture and delve into root meanings of words and original languages. This is fun for those with the teacher gift, but they need to always remember, how do we apply it? So a good example of this is Luke. So let's look at Acts chapter 1. Verse starting with 1 and 2. Actually, we'll go through 3. So Luke says in the book of Acts, in the first book, O Theophilus, the one he wrote that carries his name, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This one, that was his first one. This is his second one. In the first book, O Theophilus, somebody that loved, it's a lover of God, may have been his name. I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them. Christ presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And then he goes on throughout Acts teaching. This is the way it was. This is how it happened. Teachers tend to be historians, and that's what Luke was doing here, codifying, writing down all that he could remember about what Jesus did so that you and I could read it. That's the fruit of the teacher gift. So let's look at a familiar passage in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore, Christ is speaking, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am, that's the divine name, I am with you always to the end of the age. So here's teaching in this, but also make disciples of all nations. Sometimes teachers want to be the ones, okay, let me just teach the young Christians. I don't feel real comfortable talking to somebody about their sin and leading them to Jesus Christ. A teacher needs to be able to do that. Maybe they need to learn the skill. Maybe they need to learn some exhortation or some other, or prophecy or some other gift or a skill related to a gift that will help them. Because the passage says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. You got to start somewhere. You can't become a disciple unless you believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So there's some negative characteristics that that teachers have, and you may identify that gift in yourself from these. Teachers tend to be more interested in analyzing and categorizing material than convincing people. They tend to be academics, and they're more about maybe writing books or papers rather than convincing people of truth or their sin or their need for Jesus Christ. The teacher, if he isn't careful, feels compelled to present all the material, even if he has lost the attention of the audience. The teachers are absolutely compelled to tell everything that they think they should be telling. And if they start with 3 points, but when the time they got done studying their passage, they have 18 points, by gosh, they're going to tell you all 18 points. Doesn't matter if you're sound asleep or you got up and left the room. That's a strong negative, and I have seen it a number of times in other churches. They tend to say to themselves, I spent all these hours preparing, and they're going to hear me out no matter what. And when they're done, they've made their 16 or 18 points, and they feel like they've accomplished something. But the audience is desperate to get home or go to the bathroom or just get out of there because they haven't incorporated any of it. They haven't seen the application. Don't miss the application. Remember, if you're a teacher, the goal is to glorify God, not yourself, not to prove how intellectual you are. So, Father, I pray out of this list of positive things and negative things that those of us that have that teacher gift would be able to recognize when they're getting out of balance and would keep focused on what they're teaching and how it glorifies you and your son. Use these people. They're desperately important in a church, in a community. Help them understand they can make disciples. They can tell people in a teaching mode of who Christ is and lead them to faith in Jesus Christ, as well as help them grow. We love you. We thank you for the wisdom you give in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.